Shusa Rabbanim, Hashuvim, Shusa Talmidim. It's a great schus for me to have the chance, the opportunity to share some thoughts and ideas with you on a midah, on a quality, on a trait that I was asked to speak about. And I want to actually give a shout out to the yeshiva for this year having the foresight and the planning to have us all work on midos together as a yeshiva. And every few weeks we change the midah and try to think about different midos and work on those midos. And it's a great opportunity not only to think about our character improvement and development, but together collectively as a yeshiva to go ahead and do so. I didn't pick my topic, they just gave it to me, but I appreciate it very much. And whenever I have a chance to prepare a topic, it's a good opportunity for me also to reflect on the topic and think about it and try to think about ways that I can also internalize this topic and make it part of my life. So the midah that I was given and the midah that we're going to work on as yeshiva for the next couple of weeks is the midah of Zrizus. I'm not going to define it yet. We'll define it shortly, Mirtz Hashem. The midah of Zrizus, the opposite of the midah of Zrizus, the other side of the coin is the midah of Atzlus. Atzlus, I will define for you. That's laziness. That's apathy. That's coldness and a lack of energy, if you will, towards Avodas Hashem, towards serving Hashem. But I want to discuss with you, with your permission and with your, hopefully, involvement, Be'ezus Hashem, the midah of Zrizus, primarily, what it's about, and how we could try to internalize it and inculcate it into our lives. Around a week ago, I came into Shir in the morning, as I do most mornings, every morning, Baruch Hashem, and it was a spotty showing. That happens very rarely in my Shir. I'm sure in every Shir, but that morning it was a bit of a spotty showing, even a spottier showing than usual. And I asked the Chevra that was there, I said, Chevra, what's going on? What's happening? And they said to me, Rebbe, you know, it's not my fault. I said, what happened? You know, we weren't woken up this morning. No one came to wake us up. I said, oi, it's terrible. Rebbe, it's not my fault. I asked them, obviously, did you daven yet? And I got a very wide range of answers to that question. Kind of, yes. I said, daven now. Not yet. Not sure. Okay. What happened? What happened was, what happens every year, at least once a year, if not more than that. The Madrichim are awesome in this yeshiva. They are the best. We're zochet to have amazing Madrichim. I'll give you let's go. Shkoya, thank you for your participation. Wonderful. And one of the Madrich that was in charge of that wing of the dorms happened to have overslept. He probably was learning all night long, and he missed his alarm. And unfortunately, a few guys also did not make it to Shabbos that morning. And I want to come back to this idea a little later. It's a very good taina these guys have. They're right. It's not my fault. I wasn't woken up. Classic. It wasn't my fault. Before I get back to that debate and try to address that a little bit, I want to try to understand a little bit what the midah of Zrizus is about. What is really Zrizus? And I want to begin with three very, very brief questions from our liturgy, from Torah, from Chazal, on this topic, just to kind of help us understand what the midah is and what it's not about. Everything is bashkacha. We're in the parshios, in the Torah of Zrizus. The end of Parshas Vayera is Avram Nakeda Bizrizus. The beginning of Vayera was Avram Hachnasas Orchim Bizrizus. This week's Parsha, Rivka, she goes to the well, she's running back and forth, Zrizus, 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 everywhere. Chazal even teach us, the Gemara says, Mesilas and Misharim quotes it in Perek Zayin, the following words, V'chein timtza kol ma'aseim shel tzadikim tamid b'mehirus. Tzadikim are always involved in this midah of Zrizus, of Mehirus. First question I want to ask you is, what does that mean? Does that mean what it sounds like, that they're always running? Is Zrizus about moving quickly? Avram's running, Rivka's running, everyone's running. Is Zrizus about running quick? Is it about getting places fast? Is that what Zrizus is about? What do Chazal mean when they say tzaddikim always have this midah of Zrizus? Question number one. Question number two, the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos and Navavim and Beis the following thing. The Gemara says three words, Agra, Depirka, Rihata, which means Agra is the schar, the reward, Depirka of the shear, is Rihata, is the running to the shear. Very strange Gemara. The reward of the shear is the running to the shear. I went to the best shear in the world. I went to Rebbe, so every Rebbe in this yeshiva gives the best shear in the world, I'm sure. I went to the Rebbe Shai and stood. The Rebbe learned that today we discussed the Machlokas Rashi and the Ritva and the Gimel and the Beis about Ketana and Nara. And the Rebbe gave the best shear in the world. And I understood the shear. I even answered the questions the Rebbe gave me after the shear to show that I understood the shear. Says the Gemara, no. Agra de Pirka, the schar for the shear is running to the shear. What about the shear? Why is the main schar seemingly for running to the shear, not the shear itself? Question number two. And final question I want to ask you from a beautiful Gemara in Masechta Sukkah is the following. The Gemara in Sukkah says, on Daf Membe is the following. Rabbi Elezer, Tanya Rabbi Elezer Bar Tzadok Omer. Kachayim minhogan shal anshei Yerushalayim. This was the minhag of men in Yerushalayim. Adam yotze bibeitzo v'lulav v'yado. A person would leave his house in the morning, he would have his lulav in his hand. Holy of the Besaknesses, he'd go to shul. V'lulav v'yado. Korei kriya shema u'mispalal. He would say shema and davin. And guess what? Lulav v'yado. Korei v'torah. He would learn. V'nosei es kapav. And he would duchen if he was a kohen. Manicha agave karka. He would put the lulav down because you can't duchen. You can't duchen with your hands if your hands are being occupied with the lulav. He would put it down. Korei v'torah, etc. Holy levakir cholim, you go do bikur cholim, someone was sick. Menachem aveinu lulavu biyado, etc. And the Mara asks, after this whole discussion about these anshei Yerushalayim, these great people of Yerushalayim, Maika mashmola, what are you telling me about these people? What's the chiddush? Maika mashmola, anshei Yerushalayim, they always had their lulav in their hands. Says the Gemara, last line on the page, lo'diyacha kama hayu zerizin b'mitzvos. To teach me how zoriz they were with mitzvos. Zoriz? Zoriz? There's reason? Does the Gemara say they ran with their lulav? Nothing about running. It says they held on to their lulav all day long. Wherever they went, their lulav was with them. Not a word about running or fast or quick. Just they had their lulav in their hand. So what do Chazal mean when they tell us that these Anshei Yerushalayim was reason b'mitzvos? Those are the three questions from the three different sources I'm going to share with you. Just to review them very briefly. Number one, what does it mean that tzaddikim are always doing things b'zrizos? Number one. Number two, the reward for going to the shir is the running to it. And number three, these people that held their lulav all day long in Yerushalayim, Anshei Yerushalayim, they're zrizim. Why are they zrizim? They're not zrizim. There's something else, but not zrizim. So I would have thought. However, I want to share with you a definition of zrizos. That's very, very important. And I want to back it up a little bit if necessary. I brought for fun. I want to thank Rabbi Rich Schlita for printing this off for me. This is Merriam-Webster. Oh, a definition. It doesn't have Zrizus. I looked for Zrizus in the definition. I couldn't find Zrizus there. But I do want to tell you about the following thing. I have a few props for you today. Before I get to the Webster Dictionary, I want to just share with you a little excerpt from a beautiful Musar Sefer called the Malach in Our Midst. Malach in Our Midst is a biography written about with Moshe Twersky, Hashem Yikom Damo, who was one of the Kedoshim, one of the holy tzaddikim that was murdered in the Harnof massacre. This coming Sunday will be 7 years, if my math is correct, since the Harnof massacre. He was a tremendous, tremendous tzaddik, tremendous individual. This sefer is an amazing Musar sefer to read. And in it, towards the end, is on page 366, he defines, or Twersky defines what Zrizus is. And he writes the following thing. This is a quote from Twersky's mouth. Zrizus is not about running. It's about being a Zoriz, giving proper thought and care to each mitzvah, attaching importance to our every act. It means doing what one is supposed to be doing at that time. That's Zrizus. One does not need to run. At best, running can be an expression of one's zrizus. However, more often than not, running is an expression of, quote, I'm late. Not I'm zariz, I'm just late. So I run because I got to be on time at some place. But that's not an expression of zrizus per se. I don't need to prove this from the Webster Dictionary of zrizus, but Tversky or Moshe Tversky preferred the word alacrity. What's alacrity mean? Alacrity means, and I quote from the dictionary, this is a long thing, but it's not just to go quickly to something. It's a quick and cheerful readiness to do something. It speaks more about the action of going fast, more about what's going on inside. Where am I in this situation? Where's my heart? Where's my feeling? Am I connected to this? Zvizos means I feel a bond towards what I'm doing. I feel connection. I feel this is important. This is valuable. This is meaningful. I'm eager to do what I'm doing. Sometimes I run. Sometimes I walk. It's not about running or walking. It's about how connected, how closely I feel to what I'm doing. If that's the definition of zrizus, more broadly understood as, if you will, my bond, my love, my feeling towards mitzvos, so now very briefly, we can go back and answer our questions. Very, very briefly. We'll go backwards just to remind you. The people in Yerushalayim, they had their lulav all day long in their hands. What were they? There's reason. Why? You know why? Because they loved their lulav. They didn't want to let it go. The mitzvah was over. It wasn't over. I want to hold it more. I love this. I can't get enough of this. Give me more lulav. Give me more esrog. I don't want to put it down. They carry it all day long with them. That's why the Gemara calls them Zrizim. Because they were attached, they were connected, they felt the connection to their their loving. This year on Sukkot, I saw a person that doesn't live in Yerushalayim. But I experienced this actually firsthand. It was the first day of Sukkot. Rich and I davened in the same shul. I won't say the person's name right now, but we have a very, very chash of a Rav in our shul. And the story wasn't about the Rav, it was about one of the other people davening in the shul, very, very chash of a Talmud Chacham in the shul. He actually gives shiurim in the shul also. And it was the first day of Sukkot, and everyone finished saying Hallel, and we finished doing the Hoshanos, Hoshana, Hoshana, and then, most people, what do you do at that point? You take your lulav, you put it down. And what did this fellow do? He held on to it. Kaddish, holding on to it. After that came leaning. He's still holding on to it. I look at him in the middle of like Shlishi, I'm like, buddy, I didn't say you're weird, but I was kind of motioning to him like, did you forget to put down your lulav? He said back to me, what do you mean? We spent so much time searching for a lulav, trying to find it. I don't want to put it down so fast. That's Anshe Yerushalayim. He's connected to his mitzvah of lulav. Running to the shir. Why is running to the shir your schar? What does running show? Running shows I care about the shir. I want this shir. I want to understand. I want to learn. Whether I get it or not, I ran to the shir because I want to be connected with the shir. Why are all the tzaddikim running? Why are the tzaddikim into this midah of zrizus? Because all they want is mitzvos. All they want is closeness to Hashem. And their midah of zrizus is a reflection of the fact that that's really what's important to them in life. That's really what they care about. Just to sum up so far, what is zrizus so far? Zrizus does not necessarily refer to running per se. Zrizus is about me feeling a connection to what I'm doing. Me feeling heart, me injecting feeling, emotion, heart, life into my avodas Hashem, as opposed to me being apathetic, not caring one bit. I think it's worthwhile for us to stop for a minute or two. Maybe right now we'll stop for a second. And ask ourselves this very, very penetrating question. The question is as follows. What's my take on mitzvos? What's my take on my avodas Hashem? Am I in the zariz camp? Am I in the camp of people that feel excited about it? That when it comes to my avodas Hashem, I feel I have a passion for it. I feel this excites me. I'm interested in this. Or maybe sometimes we're a little bit more in the other camp. That camp of, either way, I'm not here, I'm not there. Maybe a little more apathetic, a little bit less feeling so connected to what we're doing. In order to answer that question, we might know the answer ourselves. But if not, this may help us out. How do I know where I am? How do I know if I'm in the excited camp, if I'm in the Zara's camp, or if I'm not? Here's one litmus test we could all take for ourselves. I'm going to paraphrase the words of Rabbeinu Yonah and Avos, but here's the idea. What do we talk about? When we finish our whatever we're doing, what's our go-to conversation piece? What do we get excited about when we are not doing something particular at that time? Are we excited about something spiritual? Are we excited about a good davening that we had or we're trying to have? Are we excited about a great shiur that we heard, a great schmooze? Or, it was okay, fine, wasn't that bad. Or maybe I'm excited about something else. Sometimes I walk into shiur in the morning and I hear from the guys, Rebbe, I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm also tired. I'm not going to have a contest who's more tired, but I'm tired. Respect. But then we have to ask ourselves this question. We're tired now, but last night there was a great game. Not last night, because it was... Was there a great game last night? Was there some good game last night? Any sports games last night? What happened last night? Doesn't matter. Whatever game was, whenever that game was, we have somehow energy and power for it. We have excitement. I have a fantasy team. No, I don't. But everybody else here does, or most guys do. And somehow when it's time to check our fantasy team, or as I learned from one of my talmidim this week, I have to learn from everybody, I have to check also not during the games, because maybe someone got injured, and then it might be a possible trade. I got to check a few times and keep checking and keep checking. Somehow we're not too lazy to check our fantasy teams. We have the koach for that. We have the energy to keep checking again and chazuring over Basmada Rabbah. And we can even compare and contrast this year, last year, what's going on. Predict. Where's he going? Somehow for that we have the koach. We have the quote-unquote zrizas for that. We have the energy, we have the excitement, we have the drive for that. I want to share with you a few stories from great individuals who lived with Zrizus. And then I want to try to bring this home a little bit more, how we could try to increase our Zrizus in our lives. I'm going to go actually in chronological order from when the ones I'm speaking about passed away. And then if I have more time, l'chaim, a few stories about some living people. And then we'll try to end with some practical takeaways. Everybody in this room probably, I think, has heard of Rav Pinkus. The great Rav Shimshon Pinkus. Rav Pinkus was a tremendous, tremendous mashpia. He influenced many, many people. Unfortunately, tragically, he was taken from this world. He was in a car accident on Erev Pesach more than 20 years ago. Actually, was in yeshiva during the year, learning Eretz Yisrael when he was nifter. He was asked once, what was it? What turned you on? What got you inspired to become who you became? And he tried to push it away. He didn't want to answer the question. And I'm not going to do the story justice. I don't have time to properly do justice. But listen to what he said. Once they pushed him, he said, I'll tell you what happened. I was in a dira. Dira means I was in an apartment. A dira, an apartment. He was learning in the Brisk Yeshiva. You can see this story in the beginning of the Haggadah Shel Pesach of Rav Pinkus. I was in a dira, he said, and all my roommates went home for Pesach. And I was there myself. And the mitzvah of B'dikas Chametz, searching for Chametz, fell upon me entirely. And the apartment wasn't exactly perfectly clean. If you know what I'm talking about, Yeshiva Bacham have a tendency not to keep things so clean. They may have been chalet from a few months earlier, you know, creeping up in different places that you don't want to see it. But it's his mitzvah. So what did he do? He spent Erev Pesach. He spent Leil of B'dikas Chametz searching for Chametz. And he worked very hard and he sweated himself out. And he finally finished searching for the Chametz. He stopped at Maariv, he got into bed. And then he thought to himself, uh-oh, I have a problem. What's the problem? There's a joint attic upstairs. Joint for the entire building. I doubt anyone checked it. And then he started making calculations. But it's probably okay. People probably don't get Chametz anyway. So he tried to roll over. And then he said, I can't. But maybe there's chametz there. So he mustered up all of his strength, got out of bed, cleaned out the entire disgusting attic for hours, and then did the chametz. By the time he finished, it was the morning of Erev Pesach. He said, I'll sleep today. But it's Erev Pesach. Everyone's busy. Couldn't sleep that day. He comes and says, Pesach, I'm going to have a disastrous Pesach. And all of a sudden, that night, he has endless energy. And the scene is over. Okay, now I'll crash. Shir Hashirim the entire night. And the entire Pesach, he's in the state of tremendous growth. And finally, Pesach's about to end. He's like, oh my gosh, how's this going to carry on with me? And he realizes it's Erev Shabbos. Shabbos is coming. Pesach is ending. Shabbos is coming. And he puts himself into Shabbos and he says, that was the first time in my life I tasted the taste of Shabbos in my life. And from there he said, my entire growth came into who I became. Where'd it come from? From one act of Zerizas, a hard one. Very challenging. Who would say, yeah, I got that, no problem. Yeah, I'll get out of bed and get dressed and clean out a disgusting roof attic, which might not even be chayiv at all in Bedika anyway. Moses wouldn't say that. That's what we had to pick this into Rav Pinkus. I have an exhibit here. This exhibit is an amazing book. It's called The Tap on the Shoulder. It's a biography about Rav Meir Shuster, Zichrono Livracha. You ever hear of Rav Meir Shuster, anybody in this room? Raise your hand if you did. Not Rav Shemula. Okay? So let me tell you 2 seconds about Rav Meir Shuster, then an incredible story about Rav Meir Shuster. Rav Meir Shuster spent his whole life at the Kotel. His whole life. What was he doing? As the book says, tapping people on the shoulder. Why? Because he wanted to bring them closer to Hashem. It was the 70s, the 80s in Eretz Yisrael, and there were tons of backpackers coming to Eretz Yisrael, and they were looking for their religion, looking for their roots, and Rav Shuster just stood there and said, hey, are you Jewish? And they'd be like, yeah? You want to hear a class about Judaism? Okay. And he would bring them to Eish HaTorah, bring them to Or HaSameach, and the rest is history, and he was Matzliach, he was successful with hundreds and thousands of people and their families to make them more connected to their faith. A remarkable book about a remarkable Jew. And I'll tell you one remarkable story out of this very, very beautiful book. It's a story that I'm a little hesitant to share with you. I apologize for those that take it a little bit of offense for the story. You shouldn't take offense to the story. And if you do, okay. We could debate it afterwards. But this is a true story. This really happened. Unfortunately, her sister's oldest child was 6 years old. They used to call her Shatzi. And unfortunately, she one day walked out on the street, she went to go buy gum in the makola, and she was hit by a truck, Rahman al-Atlan, and she was killed on the spot, 6 years old. This little girl, the Shatzi, was the apple of his eye. He loved her so much. It was very, very hard for him. He was very, very unemotional. He kept his feelings to himself. He cried a little bit at the Levaya, it describes, at the funeral, but he was very, very, his feelings were not shared with the public. He sat Shiva for his daughter. In the middle of the Shiva, as much as he obviously knew the halacha is the sit shiva, he had the following question in his mind. He said, you know what? Pikuach nefesh, saving lives, is docha the entire Torah. My work, he said, at the Kotel is pikuach nefesh. Because if I don't get to these people, no one's there to pick them up. I'm not sure if I should stay sitting shiva for my daughter or I should go to the Kotel. What did he do? He asked the Shalit Rebel Yashiv Zatzal. The great Gadol Ador Rebel Yashiv. And Rebel Yashiv got the letter in the middle of Shiva, and he read it, and he paskened that he should continue sitting Shiva, not because it was a bad idea, not because the cheshbon, the calculation was wrong, but because people may not understand your calculation, they're not going to understand where you're coming from, and may be observed by others as a lack of sensitivity for what you should be doing. So don't leave the Shiva. And the next day Rebel Yashiv came, and he never, almost never left Meir Sharim. He came to Menachem Avo to visit Rabbi Shuster. And he said the following. He said, a person that asks that kind of a question, a person that lives like that, that thinks like that, how could I not come and be Menachem Avo to him? What drove Rabbi Shuster to have that kind of a question and to get in the snow? You can read about it in this amazing book. What pushed him down in the snow when he had sprained ankles to go and find more Jews to bring them close to Hashem? The answer is, he was burning inside with a feeling of, I have nothing else more important in life than to bring a Jew closer to Hashem. Nothing matters more than that. And therefore, even unfortunately in his most trying time in his life, he went ahead and did so. I have a lot more stories here, but I try to end on time. I have 2 minutes left on the clock. Maybe a different time I'll share some more stories with you on the topic that I put together in honor of this topic. But I want to just at least give one practical, maybe two very, very brief practical takeaways. If you're feeling it, great. If you're feeling Zerizas in your life right now, amazing. But let's say you're not. So what do I do? I don't feel it. It's very nice that Rav Pinkus felt so close to B'dikas Chametz, and the people in Yerushalayim love their lulav. And my sister loved Kira. That's so nice. My name is Jack, and I don't feel connected to what you're talking about. So what do I do, Rabbi? Two quick suggestions. Number one, says the Mesillas Yesharim, fake it till you make it. Fake it till you make it. You don't feel it right now? Do it anyway. Back to Shacharis. We began with Shacharis earlier. Who's right in that conversation? If we cared about Shacharis, we wouldn't bank on our Madruchim, who are awesome. We would set our own alarm for Shacharis because we cared about it ourselves, obviously. Who's right? Of course, no one's right. Of course, if we cared about it enough, we would. I don't feel Shacharis. Come anyway. I don't feel davening. Just try anyway. Eventually, says the Mesillas Yesharim, if we put our heart into it, if we put our body into it, our physical being into it, we'll make it eventually. That's one suggestion. The second one, or just like close, Bli Neder, is, says the Mesillas Yesharim, another idea. Sometimes the reason we don't feel so connected and so inspired and so on fire is because we don't appreciate so much what we have, particularly what Hashem does for us. We take it for granted. I always had it. Everyone has it. Why shouldn't I have it? And therefore, why should I be more inspired? Why should I put more into this? Everyone does it. Everyone has it. It says in the Mesillas Yesharim in Perek Ches, when a person realizes and stops for a moment and thinks about all the gifts that they have, that itself will inspire them tremendously. Rabosai, we could talk about a midah for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and maybe try to think about it for our whole lives, and we'll still never tackle the midah entirely. But the goal of discussing these topics and looking into them is to try to at least give us some food for thought. Something to say, you know what? If I'm connected, great. How do I deepen my connection more? If I feel inspired, how do I become more inspired? And if I'm not so inspired right now, what can I do in my life to get more inspired? What can I do to be more zaraz, to have more alacrity, to have more of a readiness and an excitement and enthusiasm, a kick in my step, in my avodas Hashem? We daven to Hashem, and we close with this, really close to this, we daven to Hashem, v'ha'er inenu b'sarasecha. Which means the following. V'ha'er inenu means, I want to get excited about your Torah, Hashem. Illuminate my eyes in your Torah. Fantasy football? It's okay. Maybe. It's okay. As an outlet? Maybe. Different shmooze, different conversation. But please, Hashem, I want to enjoy this. I want to love this. I want to feel this. I want to be connected to this. We should be zocha bez Hashem, each and every one of us, in our own way, to deepen our connection, to deepen our feeling, to v'har inenu b'sarasecha, v'dabek libenu b'sarasecha. Have a wonderful day, Rosh. God, you're